On today's show, we're going to discuss some romantic things to do while in Walt Disney World in honor of today being Valentine's Day. This is up next on Traveling with the Mouse. Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Traveling the Mouse. My name is John, and I am joined by Adam.
Hello, everybody. It's my birthday today.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's also happy birthday to Adam.
Yay!
As well as being Valentine's Day, so...
Hold your applause.
Yes, everyone go to the social media or the social media. I sound like it's like an old man. Like, go to that social media.
Go to the Facebook.
The Facebook. The Spacebook.
Yes, the Spacebook.
Yeah. Wish him happy birthday.
Or send me an Instagram. Gram.
Say it.
A happy something. Gram.
Yeah, an Instagram. Andygram for Mongo.
Right.
Anyway. All right, back to the subject at hand. This is Thursday, February the 14th, which Thursday is usually our news episode, which we actually are doing a news episode as well. We are actually releasing two episodes today.
Double the pleasure, double the fun.
Oh. Yes, which is a first for us.
Yeah.
So you actually get to choose, well, you don't have to choose between, but I mean, you can just listen to them both if you want. We'll try to keep it in a reasonable time length, right?
Yeah.
Of course.
As but we anyway, always do.
We always keep it in a reasonable time length. All right, but where was I when I was saying this? Okay, back to, we are going to be discussing romantic things to do around Walt Disney World. And I think we were talking about some attractions.
Yeah.
Maybe some dining, and then perhaps resorts, and then maybe some just overall just experiences.
Yeah.
That would be considered romantic. And I think the one we're going to have the most trouble just narrowing down is probably going to be the rides. So why don't we start with those? Because, you know, there's only so many rides, I guess, that you would really consider romantic as far as, well, I say rides, attractions in each park that would be considered all that romantic.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And maybe let's just go park to park because it may not take very long.
Right.
Start with Animal Kingdom, if there is anything over here that would be considered romantic. Did you come up with anything that you would consider a romantic experience?
Well,
as far as Animal Kingdom?
I find the whole park romantic, but as far as attractions go, I can't really think of anything in particular. I will admit the first thing that did come to mind was Navi River Journey, because it's in the dark. You're on a boat, a relatively small boat. You get serenaded by a weird Navi shaman person.
Right.
What's more romantic than that?
Yeah, I think Primeval World.
Possibly.
Anyway.
But I also thought Flight of Passage, if you're sitting together, like next to each other, which you probably would be if you came with your significant other. It's hard to like experience it together because you're not that close to each other, but you are close to each other, so that could be romantic. You know, it's a beautiful attraction, so might be fun to do together, of course. So that's one.
Yeah, I think we're starting this off with a struggle. This is not starting off very well.
Yeah, this is not as easy.
We'll get to the good stuff later, folks, I promise. I was actually thinking taking a leisurely stroll, especially if you're doing it at the right time, through the Gorilla Falls Exploration Trail.
Mm-hmm.
Because that one's a little more, I don't know, it's got a little more of that rainforest-like feel to it, walking through there, more so than does the Maharaja Jungle Trek. And I could see how that could, especially if you're an animal lover, that could be somewhat of a romantic walk. I mean, you could make it that way.
Yeah.
For one thing. Speaking of it being an attraction, you mentioned Navi River Journey. If it weren't for the shaman, I would say you might be onto something. But just really walking around certain aspects of the park at nighttime.
Mm-hmm. Pandora.
In general.
At night.
Yeah. Or right around the Tree of Life, as long as the, and well, even with the
projection,
even with the projection show going, it still could be considered somewhat romantic. You know, you could kind of find one of those benches that are around the little areas around the Tree of Life, maybe, and just kind of sit and enjoy the atmosphere right there close to the Tree of Life.
Yeah.
Especially depending on the night. So I would say at nighttime, if it's not particularly busy, that would be a pretty good romantic thing to do over there. So
I agree.
It's really not a park that has a ton of like romance to it. I mean, you could make a few things romantic. That's why I say like walking some of the animal trails, because you can do it at your own pace or your own leisure. And you could, like yeah. I said, you could make that romantic if you wanted to.
I think the Discovery Island trails too are
right, yeah, nice. Around the tree. Yeah.
Around the tree. That would be fun at night. That would be fun.
As long as you're not taking the trail down to, it's tough to be a bug, because that's, nothing says romance like being stung by a wasp or yes. bee or whatever.
Or stink bugs or, yeah, yes. all the above.
All so, right, yeah. So I think we squeezed what we could out of Animal Kingdom, so let's move right. over to Disney's Hollywood Studios. And trying to think, I was like, this one's just kind of a tough one for attractions, because they're really more adventurous, I guess, than most.
Yeah. Right.
Once upon a time, there might have been, would have considered Aspects as the least of the great movie ride that could be. But since that's no longer there.
Right. He is looking at you, kid.
Yeah. I mean, I could see where you could turn some of that into being somewhat romantic. But yeah, I gotta be honest, I cannot think of one single attraction that would be considered romantic over at Hollywood Studios. I mean, they're all pretty much action-packed type stuff over here at the studios, especially now.
Meeting Chewbacca can be very romantic at Star Wars Launch Bay.
Right.
Not really.
It's like Chewie and the Porg.
BB-8.
Well, you know, I just thought of something since we are including shows, like we mentioned a minute ago, and it's still running currently, but Beauty and the Beast stage show could be considered. There's a romantic Possibly. Aspect to it, given what the story is. Like, you could probably make that part of it.
Yeah. I thought, too, Fantasmic might not be horrible. It's an outdated show, and I'm kind of bored of it. But and there's too many people. I think that's the other thing. So
we've established, at least attraction-wise, Hollywood Studios is not the park for romance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we were joking earlier, like Rock and Roller Coaster, but to some extent, doing something like that together, I wouldn't necessarily call it romantic, but it's kind of adventurous. So yeah, there is something that you can say about that. Like Tower of Terror even could be.
Because if she's terrified enough, she'll grab hold of you, or vice versa, right?
Exactly. You can hold each other as you fall 13 floors. Yeah.
All right. So to keep this moving along, since there's not much going on, we don't want to spend too much time on each park. Epcot, did you come up with something you would consider like an attraction that would be
romantic? I feel like we would agree on this one. I think Soarin would be one you can consider sitting next to each other, especially if you're on the top middle row, you know, could be very romantic.
As long as your significant other isn't afraid of heights.
Okay, the bottom middle. As long as you're in the middle section. There you go.
Yeah, I would agree with that. So I would say, I'm going to throw one out here now since you said one, I'll say one. The film Impressions de France could be considered a romantic attraction.
The music certainly is, I think. Yes. Especially being in the France Pavilion, the city of romance itself. So,
there you go. Yeah, I can see that. Could be a lot of things around France, but I think we're sticking to the attraction part.
Yes,
right,
that's true. Attractions, yeah.
I could see, with the exception of a few parts of it, I could see maybe Living with the Land being considered one of those like cuddle type rides.
I agree, because you are sitting on the same row, like you don't have restraints or something separating you, so you can be close. I like that idea. Another one I was thinking of was Spaceship Earth, which you are in the dark and you're together and you get to look at your future together as you're backing down into Earth. So
yeah,
I'd say honorable mention there, because it's not honorable that romantic mention. But you know,
yeah, it's more of a relaxing ride, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, if they made the seats in Spaceship Earth just more comfortable, I mean, that'd be like the perfect nap ride.
Yes.
Even though that's not what we're talking about right now.
Right. That's another show.
If you want to call this attraction-wise, but I could say elements of some of the areas in Seabase Alpha and Seas. not the attraction the Seas with Nemo itself, but the afterwards, you know, in Sea Base.
I suppose
looking at some of the aquatic life could be considered a romantic thing. You can make it that way.
Yeah, it could be.
You know,
mood lighting.
Thinking of things where you could make it a little bit more romantic than maybe. It's been a while since I've seen it. I don't know about the revamped film. You might consider China. Maybe the reflections of China of watching that film might could be. I don't know. Except for I think Archer's standing in there, so I might not. That might kind of take away from that some.
Yeah. You could lean on each other, but
yeah, there you go.
That's about it.
All right, so the one I think we're going to get the most attraction-wise out of, yes. I think, is going to be Magic Kingdom.
That's for sure.
In general. So some of the stuff we're going to talk about later will be experiences, but we're trying to stick to attractions.
Right.
In this one, so we're not going to cover every experience in Magic Kingdom that's going to be considered romantic. So what would be the first one you thought of when it comes to attraction that's so romantic?
This is probably my number one that I would say, and that is the People Mover. Because you can get close together. You can sit in your own little car. If you time it right, you could be in the very back where, you know, you're more secluded. And when you do the Space Mountain part, you're in the dark, completely in the dark. So, you know, you got a few minutes there.
You're thinking more like teenage hormones.
Oh,
type of romance.
I mean,
I'm just kidding.
In a way, yes, but you could. I mean, it's Disney. You're supposed to be young at heart when you're there, so.
Right. Well, speaking along those lines, I'm thinking this is one that's like the perfect combination of the Disney and the romance, in my opinion.
Mm.
And that's Peter Pan's Flight. And, you know, you're flying over city. I mean, it kind of mixes Disney fairy tale or a Disney spin on a fairy tale, along with, you know, you're flying. And the music in there is very repetitive and some would say annoying, but could use it as a romantic type setting. Mm-hmm. You know, I could see where someone, especially if they're, you know, are really big fans of Peter Pan, maybe that they could especially make this a romantic choice out of that. So what would be the next one you would think of?
The Riverboat. I thought this was a good one because it's a nice slow-moving attraction. And you can be somewhat secluded. Like, most people want to stick to the outside railings. And there was there's like an inside room that has seats in there. And my last time we did this, my wife and I sat in there basically alone. Of course, we had our kids with us, but we basically sat in there alone. Nobody ever really came in there. Everybody stayed outside. So there's parts of the boat where you can be somewhat secluded, or you can just kind of enjoy the ride together. So
yeah, just kind of chill while you're doing it.
Yeah, it's a nice scenery. You can look at the park in different areas. I like it. So,
you know, really, I know I mentioned Peter Pan in particular, but there could be a number of the dark rides over here that could be considered romantic, I would think.
Yeah.
But another one that I was thinking of, and I think you can kind of make this twofold because either one, it doesn't matter which one of these you choose. You could probably make Dumbo kind of a romantic experience, but maybe even more so the magic carpets of Aladdin. You know what I mean? Since they're both the same type of ride, I just kind of threw those together. But, you know, because, you know, there's an entire scene in the movie based around that. The only thing is they kind of make the atmosphere over there not as along the, you know, romantic magic carpet flying type, you know, they make it more of an adventure, I guess, because it's an adventure land. So maybe it depends on the timing. Maybe you might can make that one more romantic.
Yeah.
I could see.
The next one that I was going to say has some stipulations to it because I think it was going to be along those lines that you were talking about with Dumbo or magic carpets. It's Astro Orbiter, but specifically at night. And if you can time it right, getting it during the fireworks, it would be very romantic, I think, because Astro Orbiter, you're sitting front to back, so you can snuggle a little bit more than just sitting side by side. So
I was going to say, you're not definitely close enough in these vehicles.
Yes. And
you can't help but be up against one another.
Exactly. We rode this. Three people in there. My son was in there too, and it was way too tight. So, don't do that. Do it just with your significant other. There you go. Romantic. With the fireworks, that would be amazing.
Yeah. That's a pretty good idea. Yeah. I would say if they're running.
Yeah.
But the main street vehicles, you know, if you get that timing right.
Yeah, that would be cool too.
Running like an hour and a half now, I think.
Yeah, very little time. Yeah.
Yeah. You get there first thing in the morning, you decide you want to get in a main street vehicle. You could turn that into being a romantic experience, especially if it's during a time of year when it's not as busy, and it might, the likelihood that you might even get one to yourself, or at least a seat to yourself.
Yeah.
You know? So that could be something. A lot of the other dark rides, some of the dark rides, you could make them more romantic. For example, Under the Sea, Journey of the Little Mermaid, you could make that more romantic, I guess, especially depending on what time.
Could be.
So, I mean, they could potentially be more romantic, you know, as far as rides go.
Right.
So Magic Kingdom, probably more so. You could do different things, you know, depending on how you do them and the timing and what time of day, really.
Exactly, yeah. I agree.
Yeah, more so than any other park, so.
Word.
All right, so this one's probably going to be the bulk of it, and that's probably going to be the dining. Let's just go in general. Not like by park or by resort or anything. We're just thinking romantic dining experiences, which you would recommend.
There's a lot of them, but the first one that came to mind was California Grill fireworks time. If you can snag that reservation, that is probably one of the best romantic timing and meals that you'll ever have at Disney World. So that's going to be my first choice right there.
I would tend to agree. That's a good one. A little bit on the pricey side, but not so much as some of the other ones.
Right.
Since you went there, I'm going to go a little bit of the not as obvious choice, because this one, again, depends on the timing, maybe. And it's in a park, so you would have to be a park day. But Be Our Guest could hold some romantic, say, atmosphere to it, and depending on the timing. The only thing is, it's not... I mean, it's very rare for you to find a spot that would be, or to get a spot that would probably be not so crowded, maybe, because it's likely that there's going to be a lot of people at tables in there depending all times of the day.
Right.
It would definitely be a dinner there. Yeah. It would probably be the most romantic option.
Each room has its own charm to it. Like, if you're sitting in the room that has the rotating Belle and Beast dancing, you know, if you're near that, that can be kind of romantic. The main room has the snow out the window, so if you're sitting near the window, that could be very romantic. And the other room is just dark, so there's a mood setting to it.
If you get a table by the rose, maybe?
Yeah, the rose, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's
perhaps
dark. So.
I mean, but it's extremely dark in there, so yeah. I don't know. It's a little too dark. Yeah,
yes.
They messed that one up a little bit, in my opinion.
Kind of like People Mover going through Space Mountain dark. But
so maybe we should tweet about the fact that the West Wing
is too dark.
And maybe they'll fix that too, right?
Perhaps.
All right, so what would be another choice, dining-wise, for you?
So my choice is one that is more of a bucket list item, and it's going to be one of those that are a
super
sticker shock price tag. It's probably the most expensive meal at Walt Disney World, and that is the chef's table at Victoria and Albert's, the Grand Floridian. It starts at $250 per person plus tax and gratuity, but the chef's table is the most exclusive room at Victoria and Albert's. There's three rooms. The first room has, I think, 10, like 7 or 8 tables, I'm not sure. The second room, the Queen Victoria room, has 4 tables. The chef's table is just one table in the room near the kitchen, and the chef comes out and will tailor the meal to you. He'll offer you samples of things and taste, so it's a little bit extra and a little more kind of romance to it. And, yeah, I would go with that one.
Well, Grand Floridian offers a private dinner. Mm-hmm. So there is a private dining experience for couples there that has views of fireworks and a personal butler to attend to all your needs.
Is that on the yacht, the Grand One, I think, or no?
I don't know that it says. It says the dinners usually take place outside in the alcove area overlooking the Seven Seas Lagoon. Huh. So, and dessert is timed to coincide with the Happily Ever After fireworks.
Interesting. I think that is on the yacht because the yacht comes with the butler.
Does it?
So I wonder if you get to cruise the Seven Seas Lagoon during the fireworks. That would be awesome.
But also, this would also be an expensive one. The standard private dining meal, it's a multi-course dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You expect it to run about $350 or more for two people. So, you know, I guess...
Per person or?
No, it says for two people. Oh, okay. Because it's about $95 per person.
That's actually a little cheaper than Victoria and Albert's, believe it or not.
Yeah, I guess it would be, because per person would be $250, right? And at the cover so turn, like, or what have you.
Right, $500 for a couple Victoria and Albert's.
Yeah. And you actually get your own private dining there, so.
Wow. But this is pretty cool.
$350 or more, it says. So that's just the starting.
Gotcha. So that's pretty cool, though. Yeah, I think that would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, definitely a romantic option. So, all right.
Well,
where would you go next?
So the next ones I was thinking of are not actual restaurants. I was thinking of doing, like, the dessert parties. Some of the, like, the Happily Ever After dessert party would be in the Magic Kingdom near Tomorrowland area. And I think the viewing area is in the hub that they rope off the area for the fireworks. So that would be interesting. But they have those at, you know, Hollywood Studios. And Epcot as well has one for Illumination, so I think that would be really cool. So those would be some good options. I think you get dessert, some wine or something, or champagne, and watch the fireworks. I think that would be very romantic.
Okay, so I'm going to go with another, just to let you guys know about another dining experience. This one's more, they call it an engagement package, Cinderella's Royal Table Engagement Package.
Oh.
So if you plan on going there to announce your engagement, or, you know, if you're going to ask someone to marry you at the park, I mean, it'd be a good option to look into, especially since your significant other might not expect it. I mean, even though you're going to a place like Cinderella's Royal Table, it's available at breakfast, lunch, or dinner. After your meal, the server will present the engagement ring in a glass slipper, lying on a bed of fresh rose petals enclosed in a decorative platter with a dome lid. And it's followed with a non-alcoholic champagne toast. During lunch or dinner, you will also have the option of a special white chocolate slipper filled with chocolate mousse on an angel food cake pillow served with fresh berries and a raspberry sauce. So there's also going to be a personal photographer to capture the moment. So if he or she says no, that would probably be pretty bad.
Yikes.
How could you say no in that situation, though, right?
Yeah. You can always say no later after you get back. But.
And again, this is another experience that you're talking $300 plus, probably. So.
But of course.
But again, if you're looking for a pretty neat, especially if you're a Disney fan, engagement idea, this is a pretty neat engagement idea, actually. So.
Yeah. This is another one I haven't done that I'm waiting for. The opportunity when it's just me and my wife to go, and that is Monsieur Paul at the France Pavilion at Epcot. They do have, it looks like you would get a pretty good view of Illuminations from there too, or whatever fireworks show by the time you could actually do this for the nighttime festivities. It looks like they have some good window seating for this restaurant as well, and it's in the upstairs area above Chefs de France, so you have a higher viewpoint, and it's a much smaller restaurant, much more secluded, and it would be a very romantic meal, I feel like.
Going along with what you're going to there, another option that is at Epcot that would be considered a romantic dinner, you have to bear with me here, because this does require getting the right table in some of these places to be the utmost romantic. But San Angel Inn inside Mexico.
Okay.
You know, if you're right there by the water,
Right.
That can be a romantic atmosphere, and it's always night in there, so there's right. always that going for you.
It's always the perfect lighting.
Yeah, there's it doesn't matter what time of day you decide to do this dinner, it's going to be as if it were nighttime, so.
Yeah.
There's that. I mean, there's questionable as to how good the food will be, but, you know, it as far as the experience atmosphere-wise, San Angel has kind of consistently been inconsistent, if that's the best way to put it. Consistently inconsistent.
And in my experiences there, I've eaten there twice, and they've been very slow both times.
Really?
So much so that the last time we were there, we thought we would be able to get out in time to see illuminations, and it was like 9:30 by the time we got out of there. So the park was almost empty by the time we got out of there. So there's another thing. You get a romantic walk out of Epcot without anyone being there because you spent so much time at this restaurant.
Like I said, it's kind of a gamble.
Positive. There's always a silver lining. That one,
but yeah. But your atmosphere, you're going to be able to spend a lot of time in that atmosphere, apparently.
Exactly. So that's romantic. Take your time. Relax.
And I'll throw this one in there just because it's also in Mexico, but La Hacienda outside, because it offers views of illumination, could also potentially be a good
agreed.
So.
So I'm going to move to a different resort area now, and I think Ohana for dinner is very romantic. The last time I did it, it was right before, not too long before, fireworks and the electric water pageant outside, which is not as easy to see because it's a little bit further out, but it's still you can still see it out the window, and you get serenaded by, you know, a lady usually with a ukulele walking around serenading you, and the food is amazing, all you can eat. I think that's very romantic, and they dim the lights a little bit there at night, so I think that's a good choice.
I agree with you, except isn't it still considered family-style buffet at dinner, too?
Well, it's all you can eat, yeah, but it's not like...
It's not really something you just take the two of you.
That's true. I mean...
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
The atmosphere, really, I totally agree with you, but I'm just thinking, like, with it being an all-you-can-eat, I'm like, is this really what you want to do with your significant... especially depending on how long you've been with your significant other.
Well,
like, see how much of this food I can stuff down.
That's true. I mean, knowing me, I mean, yes, but but this would be also.
I mean, I'm with you with the atmosphere.
This would be a good double date place.
Yeah. I got you. So that's true. That could make sense.
Eat all you can eat. Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Sticking to the resort theme there as well, though, Jiko at Animal Kingdom Lodge. My wife and I actually did this one on our honeymoon, and it is, you know, a little more on the pricier side. Somewhat exotic cuisine there, more so. I mean, if you looked at, you could be intimidated by the menu a little bit if you didn't know what it was you were getting, but I enjoyed my meal there. It was very, very much a romantic atmosphere. So Jiko would be a good option for a romantic dinner.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah, I think that would be a good one. The last one I have for now, I mean, I may have some honorable mentions that I could think of, but the last one I wanted to mention was Disney Springs Enzo's Hideaway, because I think that is a smaller restaurant. The food is still really good, and it's got the kind of basement cellar feel, and it's got a little bit of a theme to it, a throwback theme of like Prohibition era, and it can be... It's a little bit smaller, like I said, a little bit quieter than Maria and Enzo's. So it's off to the side. It's a little more secluded. This would be, I think, a good romantic choice for Disney Springs.
All right. I'm trying to think. There's a couple that I would throw in at Epcot as well that could provide a romantic atmosphere. Tutto Italia could provide a romantic atmosphere.
Yeah.
Nothing particular with the view, I don't say so much, but it could provide a romantic atmosphere. Coral Reef, as we mentioned earlier when I said that about an attraction-wise, about watching the sea life in Coral Reef, you could do both, you know, actually have dinner and do there. So what about, since we're still in the dining somewhat, what about character dining that could be considered romantic? Can you think of any of those that you might would consider romantic?
Hmm.
I can think of one that might... come off now when as I see it, but maybe the storybook dining at Artist Point.
Yeah,
you know, I haven't done it. It's relatively new, but I could see how that might could be considered, especially if you're even if you're going here, you're Disney fans, like your romantic, you know, atmosphere Disney fans. So I could see where you could do some of the character dining could be considered somewhat romantic, right? I mean,
perhaps. Yeah, I'm not. I mean, you do have the Evil Queen. I don't know how romantic she is. And you have Grumpy and Dopey, I think, are the dwarves that are out. I don't know, maybe.
Maybe it was a bad choice.
The atmosphere, though, is at that restaurant. It is. It seems very nice from what I've seen. I think it would be interesting to try it.
Or maybe Akershush, maybe. I don't know, because it's Princess, but I don't know.
Yeah, I was trying to think. Maybe Cinderella's Royal Table, but you kind of already mentioned that one.
Yeah.
Even though it's, so. I would guess a Princess one of those character meals would be the more romantic of them, but Trattoria Alla Forno, but they don't do dinner, right? It's only breakfast as the character, so.
So what about, you think, all right, this is just something I'm throwing out there, because I don't know.
Okay.
I could see where potentially, what's the name of it, Disney Springs, the one where you, like, get in the car and you can.
Oh, the boathouse?
Is it the
Amphibicar?
Yeah, the Amphibicar. That could be potentially romantic right there, especially depending on the timing, the time of day, maybe.
Yeah. Speaking of cars, right, it just reminded me of Sci-Fi Dine-In. Might be kind of romantic, like a little drive-in theater throwback to the old days of sitting in a car together, watching a movie.
Watching a monster flick?
Yeah, exactly. Or a series of short clips of monster flicks? Yeah, anyway.
Yeah. Since you mentioned the studios, and we haven't really said much about them, the Brown Derby could be considered romantic.
It could be.
I mean, if you're a fan of classic Hollywood especially, I mean, you can make that romantic.
Yeah, you could.
Good places, maybe, if you wanted to do a romantic lunch. I'm just going to throw a couple options out here. The Wave, I would think, could offer potentially, if you want to do something romantic there. I know my wife and I had a breakfast there, which is a buffet-like breakfast, whenever we were staying at the Contemporary on our honeymoon, and I thought it was nice for just the two of us atmosphere, even, for breakfast, because it's not Chef Mickey's. That's where most of the people with kids were going at that point in time, and it was still a buffet, so it was actually kind of nice, for just the two of us.
That could be, it's a little less crowded, a little less chaotic than Chef Mickey's and stuff like that, so I could understand that.
Maybe Ale and Compass over at Yacht Club, perhaps. I haven't been there yet, but I don't know.
Flying Fish on the Boardwalk would be very nice, I think. It's very upscale at this point.
Right. So that kind of gets us to transition. That's a good transition into experiences, because just simply walking along the Boardwalk could be, certain areas on the Boardwalk could be considered romantic, I would think.
Yeah, at night, it's a very nice walk around there, yeah.
I mean, there is things going on a lot of times at nighttime, but I mean, it's usually like concentrated to one spot, at a time. So you could be walking past it or something like that, and it'd still be a romantic walk, I would think. It kind of provides a good atmosphere for that.
Yeah.
So experiences, like fireworks or illuminations cruise, maybe cruises. Those would be.
Yeah, fireworks good. Cruise. I was thinking that is a good option. Yeah.
They are again a little bit on the expensive side, I think. The only thing about those is I think they can hold a ton of people, but if you wanted to, you pay for the whole thing, right? If you wanted to just be the two of you, so.
Yeah, I was wondering, could you still rent a boat at night to do that, to go out on the water? It seemed like a lot of people did, but I don't know if that's, you could just drive around.
That was probably the fireworks cruise or illuminations cruise.
Maybe, yeah. There were several boats out there. That's why I was wondering if people were doing their own, or do they have multiple boats for the fireworks cruises. I don't know, but either way, that would be cool.
Yeah, depending on what your style is, maybe heading over to Jelly Rolls on the Boardwalk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the Dueling Pianos
or the Dance Hall, which is, from what I understand, mostly empty all the time. I don't know why it's still open, but
it's funny you should mention that. I've heard that its fate could be sealed very soon.
Yeah, so. Probably it should have been a long time ago. But on that note, like the Edison after 10 p.m. is adults only, 18 and up, I think, or 21 and up.
That's more like a club atmosphere, though, yeah. Right?
But I think that could be romantic in a way, maybe. I don't know. Maybe not secluded, quiet, romantic, like kind of what we're talking about.
Here's something that would be considered. You can take a 25-minute carriage ride at Port Orleans Riverside.
That's right. Yeah, I've seen that out there.
Fort Wilderness, I think, has them as well.
Yeah.
There's, let's see, I think they're, what, $50-$60, something like that, a person. I mean, I don't know about a person, probably per experience.
Let's say that sounds like Disney prices, but yeah.
Well, for a 10-minute ride. Let's see, carriages can accommodate up to 4 adults or 2 adults and 3 children. Then I would imagine if you're doing it the romantic way, it would just be the 2 adults and nothing
right,
else.
Right.
So they're offered nightly between 5:30 and 9:30 p.m. So if you're considering doing a carriage ride at either Port Orleans Riverside or Fort Wilderness, that would be a good romantic option.
And the number one thing that came up to me, like came to mind for me when I was thinking experiences, was doing an after-hours event at one of any of the parks.
Yeah.
They typically offer them at Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios, and Magic Kingdom. I think having 3 hours where it's almost nobody else in the park but you could do all the romantic attractions that we talked about and have some ice cream and popcorn together and find a secluded spot to sit and relax for a little bit, I think would be really cool too, especially at Magic Kingdom or Animal Kingdom. There's lots of places that you could go. My friend who Instagrammed for us during the Animal Kingdom After Hours said that a lot of couples were there finding little secluded spots to just sort of have a moment to themselves. And Animal Kingdom offered a lot of those. So, yeah I think that would be cool. 3 hours. And they're, I think it's $125 a person plus... I think if you're a DVC or annual pass holder, not same day, it's $99 a piece. So get a little discount there, but it's nice. I think you should do it. You know, it's worth doing.
And when you mentioned that, talk about the seclusion part, I was thinking Magic Kingdom, but really Magic Kingdom anytime. It doesn't seem to matter how many people are really there. You can get some spots better than others, but no matter who's around you, really, when the fireworks start, I mean, depending on where you are, that can be a romantic moment, just, you know, being there with your significant other anytime there's fireworks. Right. But especially the Magic Kingdom fireworks. Whichever show you choose.
They're definitely the best.
I say show you choose. You have no choice but to see Happily Ever After now. But, you know, all the past ones, it didn't matter which one it was, what I meant by that.
Right.
Here's one that could be, depending on your taste, I guess, a spa.
I was going to mention that one.
Treatment.
Yeah. Well, you have, what, Grand Floridian in Saratoga has one. Is there another one? I'm trying to think.
Grand Floridian, I know they feature a couple's room.
Yeah.
So that can make it more romantic. Right.
It seems like spas are an afterthought at Disney World, because the Grand Floridian Spa is way off the beaten path, almost to where the wedding pavilion is. That's where the spa is. It's way out of the way, but it is very nice. You know, my wife has done that a few times and loved it, so I think it's worth doing for a couple's thing. It'd be really cool.
Most of the resorts now have a hot tub, so maybe a soak in the hot tub late at night.
Do that,
it's romantic.
Because a lot of times after a certain time, you know, all the kids are in bed and it's very quiet around the resorts, especially the deluxe resorts after a certain time. Definitely could be romantic.
Potentially watching the electric water pageant or the water show, as we call it.
Right. I was thinking that, especially at the Polynesian or the Contemporary, there's some good spots to see it.
When we were talking about fireworks, watching the fireworks from the Poly, I mean, how can you beat that?
From the beach of the Poly, you really can't beat it there.
All right. So I came across a list here when we were doing this. this will be kind of a neat one. I think we may wrap it up after this, but I was going to mention, you also have options of in-room gifts or flowers or cakes or something if you want to do these little maybe romantic touches to have them delivered to your hotel room.
Yeah.
Disney has some options on their site. You could go and check what those are. Order a special cake. Yeah, order a special cake or a bottle of champagne or something. You know, you can do things like that as well.
I will say my wife has done the birthday cake. They have one. Well, I don't think it's birthday cake. It's like the celebration cake is what it's called. And it's $35. It actually is a fairly sizable cake. It's just like the shape of Mickey. It's white chocolate or chocolate are the two options. $35. Not a horrible price, to be honest, for a cake that could feed... I think it says it feeds up to 8, but you could feed more than that if you cut it, you know, the right way. Because it's a very rich cake, so you don't want to eat the whole thing right away. So my wife's done this a couple of times where she's called ahead, and a lot of the sit-down restaurants will deliver it to you. They'll have it there for you. They'll have it ready. And the resorts will do it if you wanted to have it in the room when you got there, that kind of thing. So yeah, I think that's a cool option to surprise somebody with something. That would be very, very cool.
And speaking of surprises, what I was thinking we could wrap this up with is something I come across about proposals in Walt Disney World specifically.
Yeah.
Proposals and photos. And I'm getting this information here actually from Mouse Sabers. It says, if you're going to propose marriage at Walt Disney World, don't forget to arrange for photos. Naturally, you may want the actual proposal to be private, but it's a great idea to have some pictures taken immediately afterward. This will be one of the most memorable moments of your life, and it's wonderful to have a record of it to enjoy later. One option is to use professional photographer or videographer. Call 407-827-5099 to make a reservation with Disney Photographic Services, or arrange with a local pro to shoot the event.
Yeah.
And of course you have the option of just having a family member that's good with a camera to be around too. So
yeah,
someone else.
I've heard of, there's a few of these services in the Orlando area that you can do third party, so to speak, that you can hire probably a lot cheaper than
calling Disney.
Yeah. And they'll hang around you for an hour or two whenever you do what you're going to do, and then they'll make a little video and photos for you. And you know, I can't remember the name of one of them I saw recently, but there are out there, so you could look them up. I'm sure it'd be a lot cheaper than Disney, like we said.
Yes, most definitely.
That's a cool idea, though.
As far as places to propose, if you could think of like a place in particular, is there one that would come to mind?
Well, the place you see it the most is in front of the castle, Magic Kingdom, somewhere around the hub or Main Street. Really, it depends on you. If your significant other or you have a particular memory or something that you enjoyed, if there's an attraction or a resort or a restaurant, then do it there. That's what I would say.
Okay. You mentioned one of the ones mentioned on this list, obviously, the Cinderella's Castle. One of them mentioned is at the Wishing Well next to the castle.
Oh, yeah. That's a good one.
As we mentioned earlier about Peter Pan as a ride, it says on Peter Pan as you fly over the lights of London.
Okay.
This one. And we also mentioned sort of this on the beach at the Polynesian, ideally just before the fireworks. And they talk about Sunset Point, which is actually that point that has now become a popular place for weddings, I do believe. Right up there. Once upon a time when we were going to this resort, you know, you walk through the grass to get to it. Now it has like a walking path because it became such a popular spot. Yeah. Surprised we didn't get bit by a snake or something the times we were out there.
Probably.
But, you know, when we were kids, we would go out there to see romance had nothing to do with it.
Right.
We went out there to see the water show and get the closest to the water you could get was out there on that little, what do you want to call it, mound. Or whatever, and they call it Sunset Point, apparently. I didn't realize that, but that's the name for it.
Uh-huh.
Any of the other resort beaches, Grand Floridian, Coronado Springs, Caribbean Beach, obviously you're going to find some settings there that would be good because they're beach themed.
I mean, I was thinking, like, too, Epcot, if you had a particular memory tied to a country that is represented at Epcot or something, like if you had a trip there that was, you know, something like that, or if maybe your significant other is from one of those countries, you know, something like that might be really romantic to do it there.
I'm going to throw in something I just got reminded of right here by looking at this, because Wilderness Lodge could be a pretty romantic resort, I think, overall. But they mentioned one on the proposal here about the fourth floor balcony overlooking the lake being a good place for it. But I was thinking in the Wilderness Lodge, as far as not necessarily a proposal, but just a romantic setting, would be right there sitting by the fire that they have.
Yeah, the giant fireplace.
Yeah. Just, you know, you're not going to be able to really sit side by side, because unless they have double rocking chairs that I'm unaware of, right there by it, just sitting there watching it, that can be a romantic atmosphere.
That reminded me of something, too, that the Grand Floridian lobby, if you time it right to where the pianist is out there in the lobby, you could probably request him to do a specific song, maybe, if you had something that you have a strong affinity for. As a couple, it might be a really great time to do it there in front of the piano at the Grand Floridian. That would be cool. Or even the orchestra. You never know. If you might could ask them. They might do it for you.
I was going to say the timing there, the atmosphere in general, though, in the lobby can be a romantic atmosphere depending on the time of day or the timing of
you
know, what's playing at the time.
Yeah,
it can be a very romantic atmosphere in that lobby, truthfully.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that would be cool.
All right. So, as I look at this, I feel like we've covered most everything. If you think we've forgotten something on this list, you can always contact us on social media via Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. That is all at TWTM Podcast. You can also find our Spreadshirt store, where we have exclusive TWTM merchandise. That is shop.spreadshirt.com/TWTM podcast.
And we have our website, travelwiththemouse.com, where you can go and find links to all of those things and more. Our email address is podcast@travelingwiththemouse.com. We have a Patreon page, patreon.com/TWTM podcast. You can get exclusive bonus content there. As a Patreon subscriber, you get regular updates on that. patreon.com/TWTM podcast.
So for Adam, this is John, and this has been Traveling with a Mouse, and we hope you will join us on our next trip.